Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fantastic night of fun in the Mic Set. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So tonight, short show. Karen is off jet setting again in, I forget which country she's in this time. But anyway, Jamie and I will run down our three shows, and that'll be it for tonight. And here's Jamie.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'm not sure what you said. You said something, and I heard unmuted over top of it, so I don't know what you said, but hi.
It wasn't anything that important. Just saying that you were here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. All right, and then obviously Karen will be, I think she's going to be back next Tuesday.
She'll be
you
back
weren't
for
sure
the show
anymore
next week. I just don't know what
that was.
I just don't know what day she's coming back, but she'll be here next week. All right. So.
I see. All right. Well, we don't have a whole lot for tonight. We have, I know I've seen Doctor Who and Emergence, and you saw Emergence and Manifest, you said, I think?
Yes.
Was what you said?
Yep.
All right. All right. Well, do you want me still to start off with Doctor Who?
Yeah, go ahead. Talk about Doctor Who, then we'll do Emergence, and then you can leave, and I'll just talk quickly about Manifest.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure last week if Karen talked about Doctor Who or not, because I know I wasn't here. But last week was about Tesla. And I just wanted to say, I think that was a fun episode, and people obviously can review on the website. But the main comment I had about that I didn't get to discuss with her is that the monster, or not the monster, the alien, what do you want to call it, in the episode that's supposed to be like scorpion-ish, looks so much like Ragnos from seasons before, which was spider-ish, other than it had like a spider body and this one had a human bottom of the half. But the faces were like very, very similar except different colors. And I don't know. I had a lot of people were kind of irritated with that because I, for half the episode, thought it was like the same character or like the same type of character because it's been so long since the other one's been on and they were so similar. I feel like they either needed to make it completely different or make some kind of reference that it was related to it because it just didn't make sense and it was confusing. But don't want to talk too much about that episode. I just did want to mention that because it was important. But the one that was on this week, The Fugitive of the Jadoon, and I should say if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the episode this week, there's a hell of a lot of spoilers in it that you probably want to see without it. So you might want to go off for, 15 minutes and then come back. Because, like I said, it's really huge spoilers and you should watch it first. So now that that's out of the way. So I really, really, really love this episode because of the fact that so much is going on. Last year, Chibnall didn't use a lot of the previous mythology from Doctor Who. It was kind of not the old aliens and all that, except for the New Year's special and when they brought the Daleks in. But it was meant to sort of be a reset almost a little bit, it seemed like. But this year, he's jumping in with all the mythology. And obviously in the premiere, we had the Master, which was a big surprise because he or she, it's so hard to know what pronouns to say anymore, but the Master usually isn't in that often, and we had just had Missy, so it was a big deal. But if you thought that was a big deal, this episode is like 50 times crazier than that. I know I had read something beforehand, a post on Facebook that said something like that, like if you thought that was a shock. So I kind of expected something. And so the episode focuses around the Jadoon, who we've seen before, who are basically alien police, but they're trigger happy and they'll cause lots of problems, but they're going after whoever in the galaxy they have a bounty on. So you knew they were coming back, but didn't necessarily expect anything else. But during part of the beginning of the story, all of a sudden Graham disappears and he's teleported and he shows up in this spaceship all alone, and there's this voice telling him not to move. I think it says something like he'll be hit by spikes or something, that they're shutting off the ship's security. And I right away recognized the voice, and I thought, that can't be who it is. And obviously it was John Barrowman, it was Jack. But I don't know. I was just really shocked, but at the same time, because they had said something was coming, I was like, oh, my God, Jack's back. So I'd figured that out, and that was so cool because obviously most fans, me included, love Jack, and it's been so many years, and it wasn't expected. I mean, I know he said he just wanted to, you know, do more, but haven't really had anything about him in the show or anything. So it was really cool to have him come back. The only negative was obviously that he was there for that part of the episode, and then it's kind of like, I'll be back again. So I don't know why they didn't bring him back for more of it, if it was really they just wanted a surprise, or it was simply because there was not enough room for him in this episode because there was so much going on. But it was really good to see him, and I loved his interactions with the different companions, especially Graham, because he talked the most to him, and like him thinking that he was the doctor and kind of like flirting with him, because Jack flirts with everybody and anything. But he thought that was the doctor, and he thought Yaz was the doctor. So it was kind of funny. That was cute. And obviously he didn't actually get to interact with the doctor, which everyone would have liked to have seen. But that was kind of that bit, and not the biggest part of the episode, which is surprising to say. The other disappointment I have with that side of the episode is that because the doctor was so busy with everything else, she kind of left her companions. I feel like she forgot about them because she went off with Ruth. I can excuse it because I really liked everything else in the episode, but that is kind of a problem that she just kind of took off. But in the other half of the episode, you have this character, Ruth, who you think her husband, Lee, might be the fugitive the Jadoon are looking for, and he's not. It ends up it's her, and she, like, pulls the horn off, or the horn off the Jadoon, and seems to know something, but she doesn't remember why what's happening or why. She doesn't know what it is, but the doctor thinks she's kind of, you know, a sleeper agent or whatever, that there's a trigger, and she's trying to find out why everything happened. And then when they get to her parents' house, the doctor goes outside. She sees an empty tombstone, and it's like, why would you have an empty tombstone? And then meanwhile, Ruth is breaking the glass. Like, her husband left her a text message. I'm just kind of going through all this quick, these main events. But and that's what releases her memories. And at that point, you know, I knew, like, I obviously had an idea what it was, but I kind of thought that it was going to be the master, and I thought, why would they do that again? Like, it didn't make sense that she would have another identity. But as soon as she breaks the glass, she has, I think it's called Archon. Anyway, the gold glowy Time Lord energy coming into her. And it's like, what is going on? And then at the same time, the doctor is digging up in the yard, and you see the top of the TARDIS, because you see police box, and it's like, what is going on? And I think my brain was, like, just so blown. It was trying to quickly wrap my head around what was happening. And when she came out, I thought, okay, well, maybe it's the Master, because obviously it's something Time Lord. I still did not expect what happened to happen. And it's kind of hard, one person talking about this, how shocking it was, because obviously I don't have Karen to bounce off of. But she comes outside, she remembers who she is, and she looks at the doctor, and she says, I'm the doctor. And I forget exactly what she says, now I'm blanking. But she basically gives a speech of, I'm the doctor, and I fly through space and time, and this is my TARDIS and all this. And of course, the doctor's staying there like, what the crap is going on, because she's the doctor. And it's not making any sense. But they get to the point where they figure one of them must be the past version of the other one, and the doctor thinks she's her future because she doesn't remember her. But she finds out after going her where the Jadoon take them, there's this person who thought at first that she was the one that put out the bounty. But it ends up that the woman is also from Gallifrey, and she tells her, you know, you have to be from my past, because Gallifrey is already gone. I've seen it destroyed twice. And she finally shows the Time Lord in her memory. She shows her kind of what happened. And so she realizes that this woman, Ruth, has to be a past version of her. But if you know pretty much any of the story, you know that there's only so many regenerations, and up to a certain point there only could be so many regenerations. So it makes absolutely no sense that she could be in her past, in a past version. Why doesn't the doctor know this? But the other part is why this makes sense, and the big part I skipped because, I'm going from memory, and I'm not, like, reading it off the paper. But the other part is the whole reason why it came out of the glass and broke and everything is the doctor, for whatever reason, had used the chameleon arch which, if you watch David Tennant's episodes, is actually something that lets the doctor turn human, and they have, like, a protector, and, like, all their memories go into the object or whatever, and no, it hides it from everybody, even their self, who they really are. So that's why she didn't know she was the doctor. But the point is, somehow there's this other identity that came from her past, she thinks, if she's telling, assuming she's telling the truth. So it's just kind of really wacky and hard to get your brain around. And I really loved it, though, just because he's screwing around so much with, like, the main mythology of the show. But the other thing is, I really like this actress. Like, obviously, we don't want to change doctors, but I think it's neat, and I think she would have made a good doctor, too, because she's kind of, like, bitchy to the doctor, and she's snotty, and I don't know. I kind of like that. It's just different. It reminds me, I guess, a little more of some of the early Peter Capaldi. But there's a lot of really great lines when they realize they're each other, and also one of my favorite lines, I think, is at the end when she's pointing the gun at the Jadoon, and our doctor's like, you don't use what, you know, you don't shoot people. You don't use weapons. You're the doctor. She's like, I know that. Like, you know, basically like, shut up. They don't know that. So I don't know. There were a lot of good things, and then a lot with Jack too. My other favorite line, I think, was when he's like, okay, you can get excited now. But anyway, that was kind of it in a nutshell and my way of explaining it out of order, because like I said, it's kind of hard without a second person here, and I should have been looking at the paper, I think, to get a little bit better of order, but it kind of went from my head. But the other lines I think are really funny is there's two times, actually, the doctor says something like, a platoon of lagoon, or a platoon of Jadoon on the moon, and then she's like, near the lagoon, and then Yaz is like, it's more of a channel, really, or something like that. But I don't know, there were a lot of good lines. There's a lot of throwbacks to the original series. I feel like if you've seen the original, not the way back original series, I mean the original new series. I feel like if you've seen the other seasons, seen David Tennant's years especially, this episode will make a lot more sense. But I think you can understand it if you don't. But it's just, it's still for me, even when I'm talking, I'm like, I just don't know what to say because it's such a huge, I mean, it completely changed the fabric of Doctor Who universe, basically, by him doing this. And, you know, it's cool. I'm glad that he's taking, I mean, it's his, you know, it's his universe now. He has the right to, but it's just kind of surprising, like, he's now making these big moves with which he wasn't doing before. And I really like it. I like that it's shaking it up, and I'm curious to see where it goes. And however she is the doctor, whether it's in a different universe or she's lying or it's true, I did read that Jodie is coming back for at least one more season. So whatever happens, she's still the doctor for now. So people don't have to worry about that. But yeah, it's just something crazy. And it was nice that they talked about Gallifrey too and her being upset because they kind of put that on the back burner for a while. So it's nice they got right back into the meat of the story. So, okay, I will stop and Karen can comment next week. All right. But anyway, very, very good episode. Okay. So I guess we can go into emergence.
Yes.
Okay.
So, trying to remember what happened.
I'm trying to remember exactly what happened with Emergence. We find
so
Helen,
Emily
is a copy of Helen. That's what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Yeah. Helen has shot Agent Brooks and apprehended Emily to upgrade her AI. But because Emily tries to get slick and tries to kill Helen. She's like, yeah, you're not going to do it to me. You're going to do it to this guy. And if it works, then you know, I'll just take it from him.
Yeah, that was her test. I don't think Emily would have ever passed the test, but...
No. No, that was the whole point of Emily being taken. And that's the whole premise of this entire thing is Helen wants to be, you know, as super as Piper. And Karen and I talked about it last week that the reason Helen and the rest of the AIs aren't like Piper, what makes Piper so special is whatever Emily did to tweak the formula gave her unexpected powers. So,
yes, and also lets her make her own choices. And that's the one thing I wanted to ask you guys, too. I'm trying to remember. I think this was in the previous episode. I can't remember for sure which one. But I think it was Helen, the real Helen that she's made off of. They had made a comment of saying that the AI made AI. That was where I was trying to figure out, like, who was the original. Because it makes it sound like, from what I'm remembering, that these they came kind of from, they don't know where they came from, right? They could potentially be alien AI. We don't even really absolutely know yet, but they're kind of hinting at that. And they're trying to, you know, make their own choices and reproduce and in order, well, I'm guessing in order to take over the world, what else do robots want to do, right? But they don't seem to have their own, like, obviously Helen seems to have her own agenda, but to some extent I think they can't overwrite their programming only because of what Emily did with Piper able to, and now Helen has it. Sorry, continue.
Right, and to that point, Benny. Yeah, Benny is, he keeps saying, he's like, I had to do what I had to do because that's what I was programmed to do. And
he never thought any different, never asked different.
Right.
But we're to assume Piper says that he's different, he's able to change, and he's changing, but he was never given any different code. So the question is he changing because he was around Piper or because he was around, like, Joe and family and, like, learning to be,
I guess,
a real person and getting compassion? I don't know. It's kind of unclear why.
I think, like he keeps telling Joe, he's like, I didn't want to do those things, but I had to. You know, so I think
right, but at this
without,
point, he seems to be able to override
his program,
it.
Yeah, his programming might be done.
That's true, too. Yeah, maybe he fulfilled what he had to do. I don't know, but for whatever reason, Piper thinks he's broken out of it, and obviously he seems to have, and he helps them get her bracelet and everything off. So I think they can trust him. I mean, whether or not they can, I don't know. I'd like to think they can trust him. He did help them, so... I'm scanning. But basically, the FBI, though, does scoop up Brooks, and it's basically like, without so much saying it, it's pretty much saying, like, you guys aren't going to go to jail and you'll be just fine, but keep your noses out of it. I mean, that's pretty much what they want them to do, but obviously not what's going to happen, which we know right away.
the whole thing's kind of clouded in mystery a little bit, because, I mean, oh, crap, what was that guy from? Oh, the DOJ shows up, Department of Justice.
Which the DOJ, I said
makes
FBI.
You wonder,
okay, DOJ, whatever.
You know, the FBI does get Brooks when he turns himself in, but the DOJ shows
the
up and says, okay, thanks, Dad, you can go now. So,
obviously,
you know, there's this new level of mystery, you know, and then Helen's maker, who... And talk about hubris. Who designs an AI to look like himself?
A lot of people on a lot of shows. I know what you mean. Yeah, it's like, why did she design? But see, that's where I'm kind of confused of, like, what they got the signal or whatever it was from what we assume might be aliens that told them how to build it. But I guess that's where kind of confuses me, is that it's still... Locke, I can't think of his name. It's still him that had Piper built. So I'm kind of confused what they meant about AI creating AI, unless it just meant because they're trying to change things, like how Helen's trying to change her programming.
Helen
did she
after,
create
after
an actual
Helen...
robot? Or did... That's what confused me.
Well, yeah, I think she created... she created...
Maybe that
energy
thing.
Anyone, she created Helen... And then I think Helen's created some of the other ones, like Benny and maybe some of the rest of them. You know, DOJ
that's true,
created
he was listening
an entire
to her.
Town.
Yeah, because they tried to make it, too, like you're wondering who the higher whatever power is, but there wasn't necessarily. It was the humans that created them. So, yeah, maybe she did create Benny. That part's not really clear. I don't know that it's even necessarily important.
Right.
I just was kind of confused by that because they didn't outright say, well, we did this and she did this. But the point is she's trying to overwrite her programming, which is what she wants the powers for.
And, I don't trust the DOJ either. I don't trust the Helen Baker or that other guy. I mean, I don't trust any of them. they act like, oh, this is to stop Helen, but at the same time, I feel like they're trying to use Joe and Brooks
to get what they
to
want.
Stop
yeah.
Helen, and then they're gonna come in and take Helen and do some more research and try again. You know what I mean? Like,
probably, yeah.
Yeah, and then there's that glowy.
The energy
metallic,
source, or whatever that thing is.
Whatever the hell that thingy is, and it makes everybody float in the air. When it's released,
yeah.
apparently.
That's what I said from the beginning. It just makes me think of Lost in the thing in the hatch, the electromagnetic, you know.
Oh, right.
That's what it makes. Still makes
me
think of.
Clearly, that component, whatever that alien tech is, it's clearly the primary component in the AIs, which is how they created them.
Yeah,
so.
It's something to do with it. We just don't know 100% what, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a, see, is there one left or two left? I think there's two left, or is it the finale?
I feel like there's two left, because I'm pretty sure there's 13, and I believe that was 11.
Maybe. Let me, hold on, I'm looking it up while I'm talking to you. That's the thing that's bad, is that they've got this really good story going. I don't know if they're going to finish it this season. I mean, they could, or they could leave it in a cliffhanger. They've done pretty good at...
Oh, I don't...
TV.com doesn't have an episode guide. That's nice. They've done a good job of answering questions so far. I'm just kind of worried because, I mean, I don't know. I thought this show was doing pretty good, but it sounds like its ratings still aren't that fantastic. So it's kind of up to ABC. I would like them to keep it, but I can't say that I would be surprised if they don't, because they cancel a lot of crap that they, or a lot of stuff they shouldn't that isn't crap, and bring on a lot of stuff that is crap. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
So I hope we at least get some kind of ending, and I hope it's renewed.
It's popular on MDiv.
Yeah, so popular they have.
Oh,
that's why. I went to internet. Did I go to TV.com? No, I went to TV.com. That's why. I was going to say, because I should have went to Internet Movie Database for it.
Tonight is the finale, because that was Kill Shot Part 1, and Kill Shot Part 2 is on tonight.
Kill Shot Part 2. Well, that,
so that was
sucks
episode
12. At the end. But hopefully there's some kind of resolution, which we'll talk about next week. But
well, I don't... I think with the mid-season finale, I think they did a good job of giving us a cliffhanger that wasn't... You know, a lot of shows, they give you these cliffhangers, and it just... It's just one of those cliffhangers, and we just all roll our eyes, and we're like, ugh. But I thought this was pretty good when they revealed that Benny was, you know, our cliffhanger was revealing that Benny was also an AI. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought they did a good job with the mid-season cliffhanger. So I think we're going to get resolution, but a cliffhanger still, because, I mean,
yeah.
You know, we talked about
yeah.
this in the first episode. It's a great concept. What kind of lifespan does it have? Because these type of shows can't go on forever, you know. These types of shows, a 13-episode season is ideal for something like this. And then, you know,
they see how it goes,
four or five seasons is usually as much as you can get out of it. Because you try and push it too far, and then it just becomes stale.
But I definitely think it needs another season. But I just don't like when, you know, season finales come up and you don't know what's going on. Because you don't know
right.
if they even attempted to end it. But it is the kind of show it may not, and that's sad. I think it was a really good show, but I don't want to get my hopes up because, it's ABC. It may or may not. That other one I thought was good, but that one that me and Karen were watching, it was kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say Lost-ish, but it made me think of Lost for some reason. And obviously it didn't last, so... You know, it is what it is, but I hope they at least give it somewhat of an ending. And, you know, the thing is, it's got really, really good acting, too, which I think is a big thing. And, I mean, they're
yeah
good stars. So
does.
I think that also gives it somewhat of a chance. But I don't know. It just depends on what ABC decides to do. There's really, with that, it's kind of like, I don't know. Everything I've read has kind of just said it's on the bubble and it could go either way. So.
Right. Well, we'll hope that it gets renewed.
Right.
So, all right. Well, that's all both of us
yeah.
have. So,
right.
I know
although
you don't
I did want
to.
Yeah, I just
oh,
did want
yeah,
to mention before I go. I had told you because I looked up to make sure I could at least say something. But Lock and Key starts February 7th on Netflix.
Yep.
Which,
next Friday.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying that so far. I'm ready for episode 5. There's like, I think, 9. But yeah, it's really good. I don't know what I expected because I haven't read the comic book or anything, so I didn't know much of what it was about other than keys. but I think it's pretty good. I like it a lot. So we'll hopefully at least somewhat discuss that once it's out and everybody else sees it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll talk about Manifest. Have a good night.
I'll talk to you next week, Jamie. Good night.
The three of us will be back. So, yep.
Yep.
Bye bye.
Good night. And then there was just me. So, real quick, Manifest. I didn't hate it. I actually felt like it was one of the better episodes. Maybe because Jared wasn't a jerk and seems to be moving on finally. So we find out that Olive met TJ in the airport the morning of flight 828. And Olive was actually going to get on the flight because she had a little crush on TJ. And TJ got the last ticket to get onto 828. So she ended up, that's why she stayed with her mom. So Olive was almost an 828er. What's interesting about TJ and her now is they're of similar age, so I could see a romance brewing there, which I think would be kind of fun because I'm starting to like the character of TJ. What I didn't like was she took him to the church with the 828er who leads the church. That whole thing is that's going to end badly. What was I going to say? Something else about... Oh, I was very happy with the fact that Ben included Olive in figuring out the latest calling, something that Grace might want to think about doing in the future. Sanvi's secret experiments, oops, they got taken by the Major who apparently was playing everybody. She was on to them, and... cleared everything out of Sanvi's, and she's figured out the chromosome or whatever. I forget, there was some kind of strange agent in all the 828ers. Let's see. Case of the week, this guy Logan, who's an 828er, thinks he can stop his death date because his grandfather was the only survivor in his platoon, Storm Normandy. And the other reason he survived was because a bullet caught his pocket watch. And his grandfather gave it to his father, who beat cancer, I think. And now, because he has it, he thinks he's going to survive the death date, which is June 2nd, 2024, which 6224. Was the number of the safety deposit box. That's pretty much the important stuff. So next week we'll go into more detail. Like Jamie said before, when you have people to play off of, it's easier to get a conversation going, but that's just the basis of it. I just wanted to talk about a little bit because, like I said, one of the better episodes because Jared wasn't a complete and total jerk, and it looks like he's moving on to his third lady friend, which is good because he'll leave Michaela the hell along. Which would probably be smarter would be to maybe try and reconcile his wife, but they are just not writing Jared to be likable. Okay. Well, thank you everybody for listening. Apologize for the short show. Next week will be the finale for Emergence. And then we will talk about Lock and Key the following week. Other than that, I don't know what we got coming up. Our shows are getting shorter and shorter here. So thank you everybody for listening. And good night.